Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to be on the radio broadcast again this week and this year. We're always thankful for all the radios, stations that allow us to come on the air and be able to preach the gospel through the airways. We just pray that that continues throughout time. And if you have a station that allows ministers to come on the air, make sure that you show your appreciation to them by listening to them, by supporting the stations that sponsor them and things of this nature. That'll just be an extra blessing, because listen, if we're not careful, I can tell you from experience of calling radio stations, of trying to get on more radio stations, there are not a pile of radio stations across this world that allow ministers to come on the airways and share the gospel. There's more that will not let you do that than those that do. And there are some that from time to time stop allowing ministers to come on, and there becomes fewer and fewer radio stations. I know there are certain Christians that have tried to buy radio stations, tried to, even have radio companies and different things so that we could continue to have that. Appreciate the people that have a burden. Appreciate those that give us the opportunity. We certainly want to be thankful for that. But if we don't appreciate the stations that we do have and that allow ministers to come on and share the gospel with people, it won't be too long that we won't have that privilege and that opportunity. And I know we've got truck drivers, we've got delivery people, we've got people that travel for business reasons. I've had different people call me over the years for different reasons of why they listen to this program and how they have the opportunity to listen to it. And I can't say enough and often enough how much we appreciate the radio stations. And we like to at least once or twice a year try to remind that to our audience and remind you to let your stations know how much you appreciate this, and also be thankful for the sponsors that sponsor the radio stations. I know they might not sponsor my program or somebody else's program, but they at least continue to support this radio station where they can stay on the air and allow ministers to have this opportunity. And we certainly want to encourage that in every way. And we do appreciate you all and want to show our appreciation and thanks in the way that we speak, and certainly in even saying thank you personally ourselves. We do want to get to the message today. We're in the book of Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 will be beginning in verse 1. And we certainly desire God's blessings and even want to look to the Lord in prayer before we begin to read. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Lord, we're thankful for another year that you've blessed us with. And Father, we know that without you we'd have nothing. Help us to look to you, Father. Help us to put our trust in your word, and help us to trust in your promises that you've given us. Help us, Father, to rely upon your blessings within our life and be thankful for what you have given us. Help us to understand your word better, to grow in truth and in spirit. Help us, Father, that we could share Christ with others, that we could hear more souls being saved and your people drawing close to you. Father, we ask for these blessings, and we ask for it all in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. And Romans 14, verse 1. And again, I do want to say Happy New Year before we even begin reading verse 1. Pray that you have a blessed New Year. And we really mean that from the bottom of our heart. And again, the best way you have a good New Year is you know Christ, and you trust and follow the Lord in your life after salvation. And we certainly pray you have that. In verse 1 of Romans chapter 14, after reminding the church that the night is far spent, the day is at hand, and how we're to walk in this world as Christians, he talks about the church, and he says, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations." Now this is a very important part of Scripture here in chapter 14 and beginning in verse 1, that he's talking about fellowship in the church, and he says, listen, you're going to have people that are not as mature in the Lord as other people are. You're going to have people that don't walk exactly in everything as they should. But that doesn't mean because they fail in one place or another. You know, even in my life, when I first trusted in Christ, I didn't know everything. I didn't do everything right. I made mistakes. There were times when church members or even family members, and times that my pastor would have to come to me and say, "Brother Brandon, here's something you've got going on in your life, and you need to get it more in line." But they didn't just toss me out. They didn't He even threatened to toss me out because, you know, there were things that maybe I wasn't just totally correct on, or maybe I had some errors and some faults in my life. And notice the statement there, errors and faults. We're not talking about living in sin here. And here, you know, when somebody first trusts in Christ, they're not settled on everything doctrinally, are they? They're not rooted and grounded in the faith yet. And there's going to be times when they say something or do something that just doesn't fit Scripture, but that's a time to go to them and encourage them, not to cast them aside. And so you want them to grow. But notice how he said this. If they're weak and they have some faults and they have some failures here, he said, receive ye. That's not the end of that sentence, is he? But not to doubtful disputations. In other words, as long as it's not causing the church to fall away spiritually, you can receive them. But if you're allowing people in that are causing the church to move away from Christ, move away from the doctrines of Christ, and they're bringing in what we would call damnable heresies, things of this nature, you don't receive that, do you? So understand the lines that the Scripture is starting this with. That yes, you're going to have some people that may not be just right. But they're not committing heresy. They're not bringing in, you know, heretical doctrines and things that would go against the teachings of Christ. They're just not settled on some things yet. You know, sometimes when people first get saved, you know, there's times that maybe in their private conversation they haven't learned to leave off some bad words or some bad conversations yet. That's not just totally damaging to the church unless it's upheld by the church or, you know, promoted by the church. That'd be a different subject. But you know, they just got some things in their life that's not exactly right yet. You know, sometimes we have men and women that come into the church and in their life, maybe their modesty isn't exactly what it needs to be yet. And as long as it's not causing a problem in the church and causing other people to forsake their godly modesty and live in an immodest fashion, things of that nature, you try to encourage them along the way and, you know, help them to grow and help them to mature till they get to that place. They're not going to see everything overnight. Maybe they read a book at home that they shouldn't read. Maybe they watched a movie that they shouldn't have watched. Maybe they've got some music in their collection that a Christian just shouldn't have. There's some things within their life that's just not lined up and in order, but it's not a huge deal at this point. It's not causing huge problems. It might can. But as long as it's not causing people to doubt the things of God or to go against the things of God, they're weak in faith. They need to grow. But you're not going to help them just by throwing them aside. And as long as it's not causing doubtful disputations in the church, as long as it's not causing heresy or the growth of some horrible things in the church, there's some things that you have to receive. And each church makes that individual decision and things of that nature. And I'm not going to get into private church business. But we all know that as Christians, you don't just get saved and boom, you're totally mature the next day. You're not. We all need to grow. We all need to mature. And none of us are perfect. And as long as it's not causing heresy, doubtful disputations in the church, things of this nature, then we can receive them. We can try to help them grow. We can love them and encourage them. And notice he begins to talk about some things. And we have some of this in our day and time. He says, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. And I will remind you, he calls the one weak that just eats herbs. But you know what? I have come across people in churches that decide to be vegans or vegetarians. And I don't make a big deal out of that. As long as they're not teaching other people in the church that it's some type of sin for them to eat meat when it's not. God said that we could eat, you know, with the prayer of thanksgiving, we could eat it. That's clearly taught in the Scripture. Eating meat is clearly taught in the Scripture that it's fine to do. That God doesn't have a problem with it. And if somebody wants to choose to be a vegetarian, a vegan in their life, that's their business. I'm not going to fall out with somebody because they're going to be a vegetarian and they only decide to eat herbs. See, this isn't anything new, is it? And as long as it's not causing arguments or problems in the church, I can tell you this, I can get along pretty well with a vegetarian. I can even have a vegetarian come over to my house and eat. And I'll just, you know, fix concerning them. And I'll try to show respect unto them. And if I go over to their house, I'm not going to require them to eat meat. I'm not going to ask them to have some meat for me. I'm not going to do that. We can get along just fine as Christian brothers in Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, even if we don't eat the same. Even if we don't have the same diet. There's some people who like sweets, there's some that don't. It has nothing to do with our Christianity, does it? There's some who eat Spam, some who don't. There's a lot of different things in life. There's some people that like, you know, wool clothing. There's some people who like fleece clothing. There's some people who like plaid. And there's some people who don't. And there's some people who like, you know, high heels as far as women are concerned. And even in men, there's some men that like cowboy boots. And there's some men that want to wear tennis shoes. You know, there's difference. You know, I go into church sometimes. And even here in Mississippi, you know, you got the difference even in some of the areas. Where I live, near Hattiesburg, you know, I go to church at, you know, around my home area in Hattiesburg, and people dress just a little bit differently than they do on the coast. I go down to a church on the coast. I might see somebody even in the wintertime come in with some sandals on. And it's a little different. It's not maybe what I'm used to. But it doesn't affect our relationship in Christ. It's sandals versus tennis shoes or versus, you know, we got some cowboys around here, and I know some boys that bull ride and rope and do different things. And, you know, we got different characters about ourselves. And sometimes the loggers are a little bit different than the farmers, and you got your businessmen, and we've got a military base close by, and your military people are a little bit different than these over here. And we've got our differences as far as personal things. But that doesn't affect our relationship in Christ. But there's some people that let those things affect them. And the Lord's saying, don't let it. He said in verse 3, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Now, some people try to take this scripture and say, well, I can live any way I want, and your sin is different than my sin. And they totally misuse this scripture. This is not talking about sin. Sin is a different subject, and sin does separate us from God. And I can judge you based upon your sin, and you can judge me based upon my sin. This is not talking about sin. And it's not talking about things that are sin. It's not saying, well, if you choose to be a fornicator, that's your business, and I choose not to be. Or if you choose to be a homosexual and I choose not to be, that's... No, that's not what it's covering. That's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about gossiping. It's not talking about backbiting. It's not talking about a lot of sin. It's talking about personal differences. Some people like red, some people don't. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about how we view some things. Some people think eating pig is a horrible thing. You eat bacon? Don't you know how bad that is for you? And I've even seen people that, you know, get upset because somebody smokes a cigarette. I'll be honest with you. I don't judge somebody's Christianity based upon whether they smoke a cigarette or not. Don't get me wrong. I don't think God is thrilled about somebody smoking a cigarette. But smoking a cigarette is not near as bad as fornication. Not even close. Somebody says, your body's a temple. Do you know when God says your body's a temple? He's not talking about the fat intake that you give on your body. He's not talking about the smoking that you have on your body. Or that you ate an Oreo cookie or whatever else. He's talking about the sin that you allow in your body. Sin is what dishonors God. Sin is what displeases God. We got to a day and time, we're more concerned about food than we are about sin. Or we're more concerned about a cigarette than we are about sin. I know what the Bible says about gluttony. There's a big difference between eating a piece of bacon and eating 5 pounds of bacon. There's a big difference between somebody that smokes a cigarette and smokes 3 packs a day. There's a difference, yes. But the biggest thing that God is talking about when He talks about that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost is sin. Fornication, homosexuality, greed, covetousness, idolatry. Theft, murder, we can just go down the list of sin. That's what He's talking about. Fornication is a big deal to God. Go and read 1 Corinthians chapter 6 at the end of the chapter and the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Fornication is a big deal in God's eyes, which is any sexual activity outside the bond of marriage, which would also cover pornography. When He's talking about this judgment, He is talking about somebody judging somebody because they don't like what they're eating or what they're wearing. Things of this nature. He says, "Oh man," He says, "one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind." He's not talking about sin here. God settles us in our minds on sin. What He's talking about here is, you know, some people think, "Well, man, I've got to be at church on Christmas. They don't come any other time of the year, but it's a big deal. Well, this day is more holy than the other." Some esteem that every day is equal. "Every day is the day that the Lord has given me. I shall rejoice and be glad in it." Every day is the day to honor God. Every day is the gift of Christ. And listen, if you want to jump up and down on Christmas Day, and you just want to sing praises unto the Lord that day more than any other day, or more on Easter than you do any other day, that's fine. But if another says, "You know what, I just want to serve God every day." What? You don't get really hyped up for this day? Some don't. This year for Christmas, and I've mentioned this before, I had a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. Some years I've had no Christmas tree. Does that mean I didn't celebrate Christmas? Does that mean I'm not a good Christian? Because I didn't put up a Christmas tree or I didn't decorate my house with lights? No. And what He's saying here is, don't judge somebody's spirituality because they do something a little different than you do on a certain day or with a certain item or with a certain thing. Don't you see the message He's preaching here? And we know that this happens. We've seen people go in church before and they see somebody that maybe the best they can do is they got a pair of overalls on and a nice shirt under. And that's the best they can do. And they say, "Look at them dressing all country. Can't they dress better than that?" Really, we're going to judge somebody because they wore overalls to church? As long as they're modest, as long as they're in the things of God, somebody else comes in a suit and says, "I tell you what, they look good." Is their suit their Christianity? Is how they dress their Christianity? Now, I'm not talking about modesty, am I? I'm talking about personal preferences. As long as they're modest, as long as they're holding up the things of God, listen, I've gone to churches where some of the best things that the women had is they had long blue jean skirts and they had probably some blouses, tops, whatever you want to call them, and they got it at Walmart or some thrift store. I didn't judge them based upon that outfit versus somebody else that had a $100 dress, or based upon a man that had this suit and came on real nice in church. You can dress the part all day long. If you're not walking the walk, it really doesn't matter. I've seen other men come in, and sometimes they're getting off of work just to come in on Wednesday night. And sometimes they come in, they got mud on their boots. They try to dust them off outside, and they try not to track in too much, but you can tell they've been working all day. Sometimes they've had grease on their shirt, and they just got to come in from church, getting out of the garage from doing work. I'm glad to see them. I've had some that would come from work, change clothes in the bathroom, and then come into church. He's not talking about modesty here. Not talking about whether they're dressing like a Christian woman or a Christian man as far as modesty is concerned. He's talking about some regards a day more than another. Some regard every day alike. And on that issue, don't try to make that scripture talk about something else that's not talking about on that issue, on things like that. Let him be fully persuaded in his own mind. He's not talking about sin there. It says, he that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. What is he trying to say here in these first 8 verses of Romans 14? He's saying, don't divide over little things. How many churches over the years have divided over what color the carpet is? What type of piano did we buy? What way did we stain the windows? I'll be honest, when it comes to the church building stuff, I've never got involved as far as caring about what color the tile is, what faucet was bought, what color the pews were, what the windows were. Now, there's some times that you see some things and you say, yeah, we need to update this. We need to do this. And certainly we want to do the work. But if the church decides a color that's different than what I want, I don't care. I don't go to my home church because of the color of the carpet. I don't go to my home church because of what the front door looks like. I don't go to my home church because of the color of the brick on the outside. I don't go to my home church because of what faucet we put in the bathroom. But there have been churches that have divided and argued over these things. What type of piano did we get? Did we get a Yamaha? Did we get something from Roseberry? Did we get something from this store over here? I'll be honest, as long as it's playing Christian music, as long as we keep it in tune. And even if it's not in tune, it's not the biggest deal to me, but I like keeping it in tune. And if I saw my church not doing it, I'd probably give the gift to get it tuned. But the main thing is, are we singing spiritual songs unto the Lord? Is our heart towards the Lord? What songbook do we have? As long as it's got the good gospel Christian songs in, and it's not things that are false or go against the Word of God, ain't not a big deal to me. As long as we're doing things the right way according to the Word of God, which book we're using isn't the biggest deal to me. You see the difference of what he's talking about here in Romans 14 versus what a lot of others try to make these scriptures say? God is saying, don't divide over things that are not doctrinal. You're going to have differences. That's fine. You're going to have some people that even in church, some might like Alabama, some might like Auburn. I'm a Southern Mississippi man myself. University of Southern Mississippi, go Eagles. That's my team. My pastor, he loves Alabama. We don't fall out over that. We might joke a little bit about it. But we don't determine our spirituality based on what college football team we like. There's even people in my home church that like Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Who cares? We might joke about it a little bit, but that has nothing to do with how we work together as Christians. I've even gone to church with some people that were Democrats, some people that were Republicans, some people that are Libertarian. Main thing is they're holding up the doctrines of Christ. Main thing I'm going to focus on. God is saying focus on the things that are important. And as long as it's not dividing the church up, you might have some people that disagree on some things. You might have some people that don't see eye to eye on some issues of colors or you know, days or how to celebrate this certain day versus that certain day and what even to eat. That's not worth dividing over, is it? Modesty. Salvation. Sin. That's defined in Scripture. Those are different subjects. There are things that are worth dividing over. But he's saying whether one eats herbs or one eats meats, that's not worth dividing over. Let that person meet God with what he's doing. Whether this one takes part in this ceremony or this one doesn't take part in this thing over here, listen. Whether this one wears cowboy boots or this one wears sandals, or that's not the big issues, as long as they're following God in their life. We need to focus on the important doctrines of the Word of God. Not whether we celebrate one day above another, not whether this one eats meat, not whether we want this stained glass, not whether we want this color painted, not whether we want this pew or this carpet color or this stained pulpit or this communion table or whatever else. As long as we're focused on the things of God together. That's what matters. As long as we agree on the doctrines, on sin, on salvation, on serving God in spirit and in truth according to the Word of God. That's what we need to focus on. We're going to have different beliefs as far as personal things. There's people that believe differently on taxes in church. There's people that believe differently on, I don't know, man. I could name 100 different things, I guess. I don't want to just tax our patience, but I want us to see the truth of this Scripture. There are people that will read from these verses and say, well, who are you to judge me? Well, if you're committing sin, I have every right to judge you by the standard of the Word of God. But if I'm trying to argue with you over what you're eating for supper, or what brand of clothes you want to wear, or what type of shoes you want to wear, or things like that, I'm missing it. Notice that we followed that from Romans chapter 13, talking about the day is the night is far spent, the day is at hand, that judgment's coming. Don't let little things distract the church. Don't let our personal differences take away from the truth that we all hold dear based upon the Word of God, the doctrinal truths. The church needs to be unified on that. Needs to be focused on that. And not our little differences. I pray that could be an encouragement and a blessing to us. Again, if you'd have anything upon your heart, you feel free. Our number is 601-544-7920. Again, we pray this could be a blessing to you. And you feel free, as we said, contact us anytime. Also, our address is Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll take this message, use it to your honor and glory for the good accomplished through it. Let us step aside and give you the praise, for it is in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen.